Let's pray. Lord, we come this evening to thank you again for the birth of Jesus. We sort of go back to that time when the angels announced his birth to the shepherds, and we think about even tonight. I pray that you would announce the birth of the answer to the problem we see in our world today to anyone here that doesn't know Jesus. We come this evening humbly. We desire that you move in our lives. We pray that you would work in our hearts. We pray that you would open the eyes and the ears of all of us to understand the meaning of all these things, that Jesus is truly the light of the world. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. We believe that you are in charge of all these things that are happening, and you know what you're doing. We come this evening trusting you, relying upon you, looking to you, and you alone. Father, give us grace. Give us grace, as the Bible says, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Help us to press onward and upward. And remember, the end is very close, and we thank you for that. May you be glorified tonight. May you be exalted and lifted high in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. This evening we're going to be in the second chapter of Luke. I think it was read earlier. Luke chapter 2. You know, one of the things that I try to do on Christmas Eve, because we have a Christmas Eve service every year, is sort of do different things or look at different slants. But basically, the goal tonight is to share Christ, to share the gospel, to sort of do all that I can to answer the reason Jesus came. I remember one time years ago to asking an individual that was with me, and I didn't know who the guy was. He was doing some work for me, and we began to talk about the Lord and began to share the gospel. And I just made the statement, and he was a religious person. But I asked him, I said, "Do you know why Jesus came? Can you explain to me or tell me why Jesus came?" And he couldn't. And I said, can I tell you that? He said, "I'd love to hear it." So I got to share the gospel with him. But I just want to talk tonight about why Jesus came. He's called the light of the world. And in that second chapter of Luke's gospel, I think Leah already read some of that. If you'll look, please, in verse 8 of chapter 2, of Luke chapter 2. I'm just going to read this. Let me just say this evening, it's sort of a topical study. We'll be bouncing around some. I did not put all the verses up on the screen because it's, you know, not a million verses, but just 999,000. So, but I just wanted to have you focus really on listening to what I had to say. And of course, I'll mention the verses to you, and you maybe want to take notes with those things in mind. But in the 8th verse of the 2nd chapter of Luke's gospel, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid." I want you to notice the glory of the Lord shone. There was this light that came. Verse 10. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great things, which shall be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." The idea of Mary pondering these things, I think she was sort of, you know, when a cow or a goat chews the cud, they ruminate. She's pondering, she's ruminating, she's considering, what does this mean? What is all this about? This a great announcement and all these things that are said about this child and what was said to me the time that he was conceived. Remember when the angel came to Mary and mentioned all these things? It's all about the reason Jesus came. He's called the light of the world. And I just sort of like this evening to look at Christ in light of the world, because the Bible says the whole world lies in darkness. In other words, we're going to look at why, what kind of darkness, three basic areas of darkness where everybody is in unless God opens their eyes, opens their ears, reveals his son to them. Let me make it clear. Jesus claimed to be the only way to get to heaven. He said, I'm the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So Christ claimed to be the only way to get to heaven. And this idea of him being the light is extremely important because this light is shining in a very, very dark world. What we're seeing around us today, one of the problems that we're seeing around us in our country, in our world today, is the fact that the mankind is in darkness in so many areas. And we're going to look at that this evening. And so we think about the birth of the baby, even though we're going to not so much talk about his birth as much as this light, the glory of God shone, and this light came down from heaven. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. And so if we ponder, if we ruminate, if we meditate on what he said and why he said that, and then, of course, if he's the light of the world, then as he says in the scriptures, the whole world lies in darkness. Very important point in scripture, throughout the scripture. First of all, I want to point out that mankind himself is in darkness regarding, first of all, our condition. In other words, think like this. If Christ is the only way to get to heaven, which he clearly claimed and which we believe, that means that every individual that doesn't bow the knee down to him is headed towards an eternity separated from him. They're in darkness. They're totally unaware of that. Most people are clueless as to the condition, their own condition. They're clueless as to what's going on in their lives. It's very important to realize that. Proverbs 4:19 says this, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, politicians, and we hear those all the time. You can't turn on the news of that. And I'm not getting into politics tonight, believe me. But politicians are always claiming to have answers for everything. But they never really do. Not the real answer. The real answer to the problem of mankind. Darkness to our condition. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're in darkness. You know, it's like people don't know what's happening. They have no idea the situation they find themselves in. They know they have problems. They know they're not happy think about the suicide rate, the depression rate. Think about the things that are happening in the lives and hearts of people across this world, across this globe. And they have no idea. And so the Bible clearly tells us what's going on. God shared that with us. God talked about this. So the fact is, mankind, men in general, and individually, we're in darkness. And we're headed towards an eternity. We're going down this path. And as the Bible says, we don't know what we're stumbling. We don't know what the real issues are. And so the real issues, the Bible reveals that. God speaks about the real issue of life, life and death, eternity. We're just passing through. The Bible says, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. So no matter how long we live, our life is just simply a wisp. We're here and gone. And the older you get, the more you see that. Things are changing very rapidly. And I would just point out to you, if you just logically look at the world around us, if you would ponder the condition of our country, the condition of our world, there's something seriously wrong. And this seriously wrong condition is the heart of individuals. It's the problem with sin in our lives that the Bible over and over and over talks about. But of course, people can hear that and then that's just religious stuff, just some kind of religious mumbo jumbo, whatever it may be. It's just all that stuff. If they're into that, great, everybody to each his own, that kind of an attitude. But they're still in darkness. Very important point of scripture. Secondly, this dark condition has consequences to it. In other words, the fact that we're in darkness, we are headed on a road. There is a path. There is something out beyond all this. This is not all there is. The Bible says if we have hope only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Which simply means if we're only looking to this world to provide comfort, security, peace, whatever it may be, we're of all men most miserable. And so there's something wrong with the world, and we're on this road. People are on a journey. You are on a journey. Every year that you go by, every birthday you have, you are closer to that journey. You are moving down a path. You are moving through time. You are moving through space. There is an end to this life. There is a purpose to all these things. And my only point in saying that is people live in darkness. They're not even aware they're on a road. And a lot of them could care less that there is a road. They're just stumbling around. They're wandering around, just going through life, never doing what Mary did, never pondering, never considering, never thinking, what is life all about? What am I all about? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And so the point I'm trying to make is that we're on this road, a very important road. John chapter 3, verse 36 says this, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." Meaning simply, it's almost like this sword that hangs over the head of every person. The wrath of God abides on them. Or it hovers over them. The idea in the text is it's going to eventually fall on them. There is a road people are on. There is a consequence. Decisions have consequences. Your life makes a difference. You make decisions all the time. And if you're old enough, you would certainly tell people around you that the decisions you make have consequences. And it's important to consider the consequences. And what I want to encourage you tonight to think about is, why did Jesus come? What is all this about? When it says he's the light of the world, what does that mean? Well, it means, first of all, the whole world lies in darkness. Men and women are in darkness. And they know not at what they stumble. But they are stumbling. And there is a consequence. There's an end to all this life. As I mentioned earlier, our life is but a vapor. It comes and goes. That's important to consider. I can remember as a teenager in high school beginning to consider my life, considering the fact that things are changing. I was going to graduate from high school. I was going to make decisions. And those decisions had consequences. And I was sort of, venturing out. And maybe, you can relate to that if you're old enough. I mean, you're venturing out. Things are changing. And every decision you make is important. And I was very much aware of that. But it was more than just a decision about college or marriage or things like that. It was more about decisions that had to do with my eternity, my life itself. I'm assuming you're here tonight because in some form or fashion you are acknowledging Christ. That there's some reason why you've come. Hopefully just to celebrate his birth. Yes, but why? What is it all about? Well, he's the light of the world. You are on a journey. And I would just say this to you, it's very, very important that you come to know this individual before you die. It is essential that you understand the whole reason that he came here. And he came because mankind is in darkness. He came because mankind is on a journey. He came because the wrath of God abides or hovers over every single person on the planet. And if they die in that condition, they're doomed. The Bible says that over and over and over again. And people that are in darkness, people that are spiritually ignorant, make fun of those things. They laugh at those things. They mock at those things. They scoff at those things. Or they put them on the shelf and don't even want to think about those things. Why? They don't want to consider. They don't want to ponder. They don't want to ruminate. They don't want to think about the whole reason for my existence, your existence, why we're here. We are here for a purpose. And I would say this biblically, you are not an animal. You're not just an animal. You're an individual made in God's image. God's got a plan for your life and my life. The Bible says in Jeremiah, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord's." The Lord plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. If, of course, obviously, you come to know who this individual is. And then also, let me say the third point I want to make regarding this idea of mankind is in darkness. Darkness as to the solution. In other words, what it says in Proverbs 4:19, that the wicked do not know why they're stumbling. Or in other words, what is the solution to the problems of our world or our generation or your life? Or let me just say this. There is a problem. The fact of the matter is you're getting older and one day you're going to die. And the Bible says that that's a problem. Death is a problem. There is a reason that people die. There is a reason sin entered the world and people are dying all around the world. I think about the tens of thousands that have already perished in the conflict over in Israel and over there in Gaza. And I think these individuals going into eternity. And the fact of the matter is, biblically, according to what the Bible tells us, most of them are in darkness. They have no idea. And their journey has come to an end on this earth. But let me just say this. This is not all there is. This life is not all there is. And a lot of people just scoff and they just think, well, how do you know that? Well, let me just say this. You know, I have in my office or in my home a study. And in my study, I basically, guess what I do in my study? That's right, I study. And I've got books, I've got my desk, I've got my windows, I've got things down there. You don't know what my study's like. I mean, and so the idea that you could explain to me my study or what's in my study or the way I have my books arranged or my desk, you know, you would be guessing. You would just be speculating. The only way for you to really know, unless you've been there, is if I tell you, right? If I tell you what my study's like, if I explain to you and I maybe even give you pictures, whatever it may be, or maybe you sneak in there and see it, I don't know. But my point in all that is the answer, what's happening in the second chapter of Luke, the birth of Christ, is that there is an eternity. And a lot of people that are in darkness just speculate about eternity. They have no clue what eternity is like. Some of them don't even believe there is an eternity. They think we're animals. And they think when we die, we cease to exist. They just sort of make this stuff. They hope. My question is how do you know that? How do you know? Do you know that or are you just guessing? Do you see my point? It's like trying to guess what my study's like. Guess where my furniture is or my books are or what books I have in my study. There's no way you can know that unless I tell you. So the bottom line is that God sent his son to tell us. God sent his son as a light to shine on these three basic issues in life. He spoke to us. The Bible says he that spoke in times past by the prophets has in these last days spoken to us by his son, through his son. Christ came to speak to us, to reveal something about God and about eternity and about you and about me and about the solution to the problems in our world. But let me just point out, most people are totally oblivious to him. When he came, the Bible says he came into his own and his own received him not. So most people had no clue, did not want to listen to what he had to say. They could care less. They didn't want to know that they're headed for destruction. They didn't want to know that the wrath of God abides in them. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He talks about those who don't come to the light. They don't come to the light lest their deeds should be exposed. The reason a lot of people do not want to come to the light is because they don't want their lifestyle, their what they do, the way they think, to be exposed. Because Jesus is the light. He reveals. He shines. He shows us our condition. He shows us our path. He shows us the solution to that situation. He tells us about eternity, about what is eternity, what's in eternity. He tells us about what he's going to do. The things that are happening in the Middle East are part of what he's already said. I challenge you to read Ezekiel 38 and 39 and to consider. My only point in saying all these things is that he has spoken to us. He has come and shown his light in this world. So mankind is in darkness, but Christ, Jesus, is the light of the world. Again, every other attempt to understand these things apart from this revelation of Christ is silly and foolishness. It's guesses. I remember one time somebody came to our house, and we have a handicapped son, and they were a caregiver. And she was into weird stuff, just weird, you know, weird psychobabble, weird stuff. And I'm not trying to criticize, but it was really weird stuff. And at the end of that, you know, I was sharing the world with her, and she was telling what she believed, and I just made the statement. I said, well, let me ask you a question. How did you come to this? How did you come to this conclusion about what you believe? And she said, well, I just sort of made it up. Really? I mean, that's really what she said. I just sort of made it up. I said, you're telling me you just sort of made it up. Think about what I'm saying. Ponder this. We're not making this stuff up. How do we know these things are true? Because Christ came down, was born in Bethlehem, walked on this planet, spoke to us about eternity, about our journey, about the solution to our problem. Christ revealed all of it to us. He showed us. So we understand these things not because we're guessing, not because we're just sort of trying to figure things out and hope we get it right. We can't afford not to get it right. Can you afford not to get it right? If there is an eternity? Of course not. And it's the fool that just neglects and ignores these kinds of things. Doesn't want to talk about it. No, we can't afford that. And so the bottom line is that God came down in the person of his son and spoke to us. He spoke clearly. He spoke accurately. he demonstrated to us in his lifestyle and the fact that he was buried and rose again from the dead. The fact is, he's transformed our lives. He's not just come and we don't just have this influence. We have an individual that has transformed us. When I was 19, I met this individual, the individual that was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. I met him. Changed my life. It's my best friend. And so we know these things. We understand these things. So first of all, Christ is the light of the world. Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, that whosoever believes in me should not abide or remain in darkness. Think about what he just said. Ponder this. Ruminate on this. Let me just read it again. I have come as a light into the world. Why? That whoever believes in me should not abide or remain in darkness. That's why Jesus came. First of all, he came to reveal our condition. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, it says this. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Again, let me read that. This is the condemnation. This is the problem. This is the judgment of God. What is the judgment? Light has come into the world, and what's the response? Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. They don't come to the light. Why don't they come to the light? Because their deeds are evil. And they do not want their evil deeds to be exposed. They do not want to know the truth about their self. It's like having a major problem in your life physically and you refuse to go to the doctor. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what the problem is. I don't want anybody to tell me there's something wrong. You just sort of pretend you're okay. Well, that's the idea in the text. And then in John chapter 3, verse 21, the true followers of Christ have light. Listen to this. Whoever does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. In other words, the believer, the Christian, understands the problem in this world. The believer understands the problem of your neighbor or a friend or someone else who doesn't know the Lord, who is saying, why am I here? And I got sin in my life and I've got situations and one day I'm going to die. And there's this terrible fear, this bondage of fear of death. And the believer walks in the light. We understand these things. God's told us. God's spoken to us. These same kind of concerns that everybody has, we've all had. I had a concern about my eternity. I had a concern about my sin. I had a concern about when I was going to die. And so I wanted to come to know and find out, what is this all about? What is the reason that Christ came? Well, he is the light of the world. He came to reveal our condition. In other words, if you don't understand your condition, you're not going to do anything about it. If you don't understand you're on this road to eternity without Christ, then you'll never change that. You'll just keep going down there and hoping that, you know, I don't know. So secondly, he came to reveal the consequences of this road we're on. Revelation 20 verse 15, it says this. Revelation 20 verse 15 says, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a hell. There is a heaven. I wish there wasn't. I'd like to believe there wasn't. But the individual in the Bible who talked more about hell was Christ himself. Jesus certainly believed in hell and taught about it. I'm reminded when he said, you know, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's profitable to go through life with one arm than to having two arms be cast into hellfire. I mean, Christ went over and over, talked about hell, caught the judgment of God. What am I saying again? This whole idea, whoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the end. Biblically, that's what God said. That's what Jesus taught. Now, you may just brush it off and say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's your choice. It's up to you. No one's going to force you. But the Bible clearly says it. Christ clearly said it. And then in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not death physically. That is part of the problem in our world today. But death in the Bible is a permanent separation from the presence of God in a terrible place. Jesus described it as Gehenna. Gehenna was actually, there was a garbage heap outside of Jerusalem. And if you had garbage, you would haul it outside of Jerusalem and dump it in a place they call Gehenna. If you had a dead animal or even some bodies, they would take them. If there was they would put the bodies in Gehenna. There was always smoke coming up from Gehenna, always. If you lived in Jerusalem, it's just so Jesus used that to describe hell, the judgment of God, this eternal smoke coming up. But he came to reveal the consequence for my sin. For me, I'm on a path. I'm on a journey. And it's not going to end well unless I do something about it, unless he does something about it. And the third point I want to make finally is he came to reveal the solution to our problem. And that solution was Jesus Christ himself, God's son. You know, I mean, think about it like this. So many people in our world, maybe you feel that way today. Maybe you feel like in your own personal life, people look at you and say, who cares? Who cares about you? What kind of job you have? What kind of family? I mean, who cares? Well, let me say this. He does. The Lord cares. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that all the world through him might be saved. He gave us a solution to this horrible problem we have in our world today. You know, sometimes it's so funny, not funny, it's sad, to look how people claim to know all these answers about all these things, but we're the same we've always been. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And so Christ did that. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again and says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let me read that again. I am the light of the world. He who follows me. So it's not enough to intellectually believe. You have to follow him. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When the shepherds saw the glory of God, it was this light that shone around them. You know, this light from heaven. Christ is the light of the world. He came to reveal. He came to show. He came to expose. He came to talk. He came to teach. He came to share. Here's what the problem is. Here's what the solution is. Here's what eternity is like for those who believe and for those who don't believe. Here's the goal that I have. He came what? To do what? To seek and to save those who are lost. He told us in the scriptures, the Bible clearly says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They have to call upon the Lord. They've got to ask him. You're not just saved automatically. You've got to cry out to him. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his only son, cleanses us from all sin. That idea of fellowship means if we walk with other believers who also believe in Christ. There's a connection. There's a spiritual connection to every believer. And that is the Holy Spirit lives in the heart of every Christian. Jesus came a light into the world. Why? Because the whole world lies in darkness. There are problems. Systemic problems in the heart of an individual. And you can change that individual's environment. You can change that individual's technology. You can change that individual's clothes. But the individual's the individual. And man is a sinner. And man's going to sin. And the wages of sin has always been death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God came to give us this amazing gift on Christmas. It is his son. I mean, he didn't have to do that. He could have said, you know, look, these are a bunch of sinners on the road to hell. What do I care? You ever thought about the fact that the angels sinned? The demons are fallen angels, I believe. God never provided a way for them to be saved. Why would he save us? It's one of the great, amazing things about God. For God so loved the world that he gave. He sought us out and he pursued us when we wanted nothing to do with him. And he began to call us. He began to convict us. He began to deal with us. He began to reveal to us that this life is not all there is. He began to let us know there's a void, there's an emptiness inside that you're not getting fulfilled by your drugs and your pardon and your money and your houses. That's never going to satisfy that need. Only he can do that. It was the Lord that began to do that. The Bible says, no man can come to me, Jesus said, unless my Father draw him. So God began to draw us. God began to show us there's something wrong. And it's not just there's something wrong with the world. There's something wrong with me. I've got an issue. I've got a problem. I've got sin in my life. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's speaking to me personally. It's basically saying I deserve that. I need to be aware of that. And there's only one way to deal with sin, and that is through Christ and the blood of Jesus. By coming to him, by bowing the heart before him and asking him, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what Christmas is all about. Do you understand what's happening in this world today? Billions of people are headed towards eternity without Christ. They have no clue. They're just stumbling along. And so God's calling us as Christians to preach the gospel, to share the word, to tell the truth, to let others know about Christ, to pray for individuals because God cares about them. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what the Bible says. Leah, can the worship piece come up? Let's bow our heads. Lord, this evening as we think about the meaning of Christmas and the coming of Jesus, may we think about him being that light that has come to light, to illuminate, to reveal. He began to speak about eternity. He began to speak about who God was, what God was like. He began to show us. He said to his disciples, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So, Lord, I pray that as we think about Jesus being the light of the world, I pray this evening that you would illuminate, you would lighten the hearts that are in darkness, even here in this sanctuary. And I pray that you would illuminate the fact that they're on a path, this path that every person is basically on. And this path ends when they're the last heartbeat. They're one heartbeat away from eternity, one step away from entering into eternity. And as much as some would not want to believe that there is eternity, as some would not even want to think about it, it's what you told us. The scriptures cannot be broken, Jesus said. And I want to pray tonight that you'd open hearts up to realize that Jesus is the greatest gift ever. He's the light of this world. As the Bible says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. The Bible says in him there is not even a shadow of turning. Not even a shadow. So Lord, we come to you this evening and pray. Open eyes, open hearts. I pray that individuals that are on the wrong road, maybe, as I said earlier, they don't want to come to the light. They despise the light. They hate the light because they know when they come to the light, it simply reveals their condition, their situation. It reveals what they believe, and what they believe may be completely wrong. It may be totally contrary to what the Bible teaches, what Jesus taught us. And I pray you'd also show us, Lord, you're not forcing anybody to accept you or not. You're just presenting yourself. You're just telling people the truth regarding yourself and about themselves, that they're sinners and they're headed for eternity without Christ unless something happens to change that road. Puts them on a completely different road. They become, as the Bible says, a disciple, a follower of Jesus. We don't want to walk in darkness. We want to walk in the light of life. We want to walk in the light of your word, the light of truth, the light of reality. And I thank you that you have come from heaven. You have spoken and spoken clearly. You're not spoken in some vague sentences. You're not spoken in some mysterious ways. Your whole goal in coming was to reveal to us what God was like and reveal to us the fact that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And I pray that we would be wise enough to understand that and embrace that fact. And realize there's something that anybody can do to change that or to solve that problem. and that is to pursue and come to Christ. Jesus said in the Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." You're not forcing the door down. You don't break the door. You just knock. You're a gentleman. You would love to save perhaps some here tonight. You would love to forgive some tonight. But you require, part of your plan was, you require that individuals ask you. They humble themselves. They acknowledge their condition, acknowledge their sin, and they come and come only to you. They're not trusting in their works. They're trusting in what you have done for them on the cross at Calvary. And they ask you, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I accept, I believe in, I trust in, I commit my life into the hands of Jesus. I want to be a disciple, a follower, not just somebody who acknowledges, the devil acknowledges Christ. We have to be followers of Christ." And I pray this evening, even as I share, that hearts, minds, eyes, that you would shine your light on individuals here in the sanctuary, those that are at home listening and watching, and may they be illuminated by the Holy Spirit, by the truth of the Word, and understand that you have come from heaven, reveal these things, spoken to us, so we're not left to guess and hope we get it right. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You tell us in the Bible, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. You are a good shepherd. You safely lead us through this life to the next. The Bible says this God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death. Not only do you guide us through life, you guide us into the process of death, and of course through death into eternity. And I pray that if there's anybody here tonight who doesn't have that relationship with you, doesn't have that confidence in you, doesn't have that faith in you, that even now they would turn to you with all their heart and ask you to reveal, shine the light of who you are and their situation to them. May they want to know. The Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, sort of closing our service on Christmas Eve, let me just encourage you. First of all, after the service tonight, there'll be some people down here to pray if you need prayer. Maybe you want to accept Christ. You want to come up and have prayer tonight or whatever it may be. Let me challenge you. Let me encourage you. Please give your heart to Christ. But in closing in our service, we just want to light some candles. Just have a, you know, sort of dim the lights down and sing O Holy Night and light the candles. And I want you to think as you light the candles that Christ is the light of the world. The whole world lies in darkness. And He's truth. He's the light. If we follow Him, we'll never go in darkness. We'll have the light of life.